You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting,
this call may be recorded or transcribed.
Hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, excuse me. Hope everything was well with you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping to the weather was accommodating for you to do it, but of course, the weather, I tell you, if it's not, you got to do it. You'll get it done anyway. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives. Go to timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that, the drop down. The first thing you'll see is African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. On Thursdays from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club on Thursdays. Fridays at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. And on Sundays at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And also, too, for if you want to make a, you know, got to do a shortcut, there's a shortcut you can use. You just go to any search engine, Firefox, Google, whatever. Put in the search babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net. And once again, there will be programs that are dated and titled. Yeah, I haven't been here in a while. I've been gone, but I'm back. I'm back, family. And, of course, all these announcements and things that I usually do, I'm going to do. So let's get to it. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Brother Bomani Taimba, he's taking our people to the motherland, and he's been doing it for years, and so he has trips upcoming. Next month, July 11th to the 23rd, to Ghana. November 20th to December 2nd, Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, 2025, Azania. I think they pronounce it Azania, but of course, you know, they still want to call it South Africa. April 4th to April 14th, 2025, Kenya. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. November 21st to December 1st, 2025, Brazil. And so if you go on to AfricaForTheAfricans.org, you'll see that and so much more. Brother Bomani is ready to take our people, so hopefully you can join in. If you want to give him a call at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see You want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Habashah. Habashah Incorporated. Habashah stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And, of course, the Habashah Works program. They do a lot of good stuff with Habashah. And so they have a program upcoming in October 12th. And it's in Ghana, in the Lake Volta region. More on that program. Habashah. Brother Nathaniel Jordan. Nathaniel Jordan, the wellness, the minister of wellness. The brother is in Kenya. I believe he's still in Kenya. And go to his website, go to his website, theministerofwellness.com. Theministerofwellness.com. You see the products that he has to offer, seminars and so forth. Like I said, he'll be back. I'm not sure when, but he'll be back. And, of course, we'll be talking with him. The Minister of Wellness. Smy Pharmacy. Brother Jabril with Smy Pharmacy. If you want to give him a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. The Minister, Smy Pharmacy. SMAIFARMACY. Moses West and the Moses West Foundation and the Atmospheric Water Generating Machine. So we develop and implemented the Atmospheric Water Generating Machine technology to provide water, sanitation, and hygiene solutions worldwide, ensuring communities have access to essential services for health and well-being. That's right. The access, clean, drinkable water. Haven't talked to them in a while. I did send a message to Brother Apollo. I'll do that again. So hopefully we can have them on the program again, the Atmospheric Water Generating Machine. Us Lifting Us. Us Lifting Us to Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics. Their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night. On Blog Talk Radio, that's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. If you want to give them a call, the program is from 9 to 10 every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, not open today, but open Tuesday through Sunday at 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. in Macon, Georgia. 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah's got it going on. His place is jam-packed with all kinds of good stuff for you at Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop. They got the soap, the holistic products, the beauty products, the oils, the incense, the CDs, the DVDs, the literature, the pen, furniture, clothing, you name it. They even have a vegan restaurant on the premise. That's right. So they can do it all for you. Just a one-stop shop, sure. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar here in the West End, located on Ralph Dibbert Abernathy Boulevard, with delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and packaged dry goods. Okay. Vegan food on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday, serving vegan dishes. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Netcher. No, not the Medu Netcher. The Medu Bookstore. That's right. Medu means writing. Netcher means gods. The Medu Bookstore, located in the Greenbrier Mall. Give my sister Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263.
563. If you're looking for a book, a particular book, give her a call. She probably will have it. But if she doesn't, she'll get it for you because she has a fine selection of books. Postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, gift certificates, and so much more. That is the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, located east of Atlanta off of I-20. Take I-20, head east, exit 74. When you exit 74, make a left, you're on Main Street in Lithonia. Go about a mile or so, and on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. My good friend, Brother Gazende Ashamu, the proprietor. Give him a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. Jump back in your ride, head back in the other direction. You were headed north. Now you're headed back south and make another left onto I-20 East. The next exit, exit 75. Take that exit, make a right, three lights, make another right, and on the left, the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market family. All right. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Give my sister Shelly Amundset a call at 404-434-7963. 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-IET.org. Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, Sister Gabby, been doing a great job with our children in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Brothers and sisters, you know, the government gives them no assistance. They rely on the kindness and the generosity of brothers and sisters like you. So go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E. -Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. All right. Baba Baruti and Mama Yah. Okay, always got to plug them, you know, but Akabin Institute, you can donate through PayPal. They're off in the summer just like the regular school year, but they do programs consistently. But you can go to PayPal. If you go to PayPal, it's yahbaruti at yahoo.com. If you go to Cash App, the $ Yah M Baruti, and you can make your contributions that way. Also, too, if you want the books that Baba Baruti writes, which he's a prolific writer, go to akabinhouse.com. That's akabinhouse.com. So we're going to read the Inyasasim. The Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. In fact, we're going to go over some of these ones that we missed because we were gone and read some of those on Wednesday. A recap. Well, it wouldn't be a recap. But yeah, I guess it would be a recap. All the stuff we missed. And believe me, the Inyasasim is full of knowledge and wisdom and response. June 9th, education must provide a means of social advancement for the African community. It should make Africans proud to be, proud to own African businesses, maintain two-parent households, engage in global trade, and govern their own communities. The public and private schools that are not African-centered will not give the African child the tools to build the African community or home. They cannot and will not teach African children to become empowered. The children will be taught to keep working for the system, which is disenfranchising them instead of revolting against the system. Aya Rayat. Politics are critical to this empowering education. And as Aya Rayat clearly indicates, it is to be found in the mentality of racial accountability that children in centered communities are taught and which remains in the forefront of their thinking in every personal decision for life. They must be guided into thinking deeper in even everyday decisions. Every choice they make must be based on its benefit or determinant to African people. Let me read that again. Every choice they make must be based on its benefit or detriment to African people. For example, while the average conscious person knows to buy black or buy African, children embedded with a race-first mentality will go even further. They will have learned that calculated consumption without cultural accountability is only a pretense at power for the people. Their vision will far exceed any concerted support of those individuals who simply look like them. They will know to assess, as Jegna ancestor Dr. Amos Wilson said and explained, whether or not the set of relationships of those who they buy from is at one with the priorities of the African nation. So they will also need to know, in conclusive terms, the level of dedication the person from whom they make purchases has to be African people. Ashe. Affirm, I teach our children to empower themselves and us. Affirm, I teach our children to empower themselves and us. June 10th. Our freedom of speech is freedom or death. We got to fight the powers that be. Our freedom of speech is freedom or death. We got to fight the powers that be. Chuck D and Public Enemy. Warriors do not concern themselves with death. It comes with the territory. When inevitably we charge at death. So if anything, given that serious Africans should measure progress by how far they have moved themselves and assisted others in moving away from Urugu's way. Warriors would be concerned with how well they are doing on the front line when death arrives. Because of those who do not already possess it, true warriorhood brings humility. Warriors should understand the current of cowardice that flows in the veins of those who live in fear and ignorance. Therefore, if they walk in righteousness, warriors cannot act as if stepping in and out of madness is okay and normal for those who aspire to be warriors and warriorhood. It is possible for those claiming African-centeredness to permanently rise above compromise and the undisciplined way of Urugu's disciples. Living a life in defense of lies is not living. Neither is it maintaining. It is dying. So the message to our aspiring warriors would be to not allow the weakness of any one of these who claim to share the warrior's front line to cause you to question the strength in all who say do so. Lies weaken. Lies kill the warrior within, and even faster when the one telling them comes to believe them. More importantly, lies indicate the presence of fear, and fear destroys one's constitution and the discipline to overcome fear. As the ancestors say, a lie is a child's way of escaping punishment and age. A lie is a child's way of escaping punishment, and age is no determinant of maturity in Urugu's reality. If there are no lies, there is no fear. Affirm, I fight the powers that be. Affirm, I fight the powers that be. Yeah. The Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Daily Revolutionary Thought. Well, family, I'm glad to be back. It's been a while. Yeah, I got another trip upcoming in August. I'm going to be gone again. I'm going to the National Black Firefighters Convention in Miami. Yeah, I know. I'm not a firefighter. I haven't been a firefighter since 06. But the fire service assisted me in doing a lot of great things. And being a member of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters, I've been able to travel the world. So I feel I will support that organization to the end, for sure. So I was in New Orleans, at the EDI, Executive Development Institute, the Dr. Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute, where we teach brothers and sisters from across this country and around the world. We had some folks from the islands as well as from Africa come to EDI this year. And they've been coming. That's why we really are international. And I felt it was a very good EDI session. Last year, Mod 1, the first incoming group, saved EDI because coming back from the pandemic, we were devastated like a lot of other entities were devastated, businesses particularly. And numbers were low and so forth. But yet, in the first incoming group, there's five levels, you know. You graduate on the fifth level, then they've added a sixth level, and they've really stepped up their game for the Mod 6 group in terms of preparing them with a lot of good information and interviews and so forth. But anyway, that incoming level last year saved EDI. And this year, man, they came in real strong with 80 participants in one. And obviously one becomes two. And last year they had like 50-something. But this year they had 73. So there was a number of brothers and sisters who didn't come back right away after the pandemic, but who came back this year to try to finish up the program. And they had 73 students. That was fantastic. What else happened was the graduating class of Mod 5 came to me on Tuesday and asked me to be the keynote speaker at the graduation. And when the brothers came to me with it, I was, you know, huh? You want me to be the keynote speaker? I mean, I've keynoted a few times, you know, a couple graduating classes, not at EDI, but in middle school, high school, and so forth, you know. And so, yeah, I'll definitely do it, you know. And they said, well, we know you, and we know what you're coming with, so we want you to be our keynote speaker. And it turned out very well. Turned out very well. Yeah. So sometimes when you're asked to do something, you know, and you've been requested, and you look at the situation, and if you can do it, you do it. You know. If there's a reason why you can't do it, whatever those reasons might be, it's understandable. And so I was honored to do so, and it turned out well. Yeah. So it was a good week. The facilities at Tillett this year, they're going through some situations monetarily. And as beautiful as the campus is, man, I noticed the grass wasn't cut. There was a few things that happened at some of the dorms, and initially with one of the areas that we're supposed to meet in, you know. So I was like, man, you know. And I know people even complained about the quality of the food, you know, because we lived there for that week. We come on campus just like all, you know, students at a university, you stay in the dorm. You know, of course, if you don't want to stay in the dorm, you can stay off campus. You got the money. Some of these firefighters, particularly some of these chiefs, they got the money. But a lot of times they stay on campus so they can network with the students. We always say that we're accessible, You know, after class, you can come and ask us questions. You see us in the cafeteria. You see us outside the dorm and so forth. Engage in conversation. You got questions. Hopefully, the brothers and sisters who are in those positions can give you the correct answer, give you the guidance, you know. So I'm very honored to be a member of the EDI staff. I teach a history course on day one, and I think that's why they asked me, because they felt they liked that history course. And so on day one, even though what I generally do is make copies, I'm the copy man, I make copies. But I always said that what I do is equally important than any instructor or anything else, because when an instructor comes and he or she has materials that and they're talking about they want to give you, they need those copies, especially if you got 80 students, you know. And not everybody brings a computer or has a jump drive and so forth, so we make the copies. Not all classes, but it's getting a little better, because this year I didn't do a lot of copying, really. I really didn't, which is cool, you know. And but, you know, on that first day, and my good friend, Brother Brent Burton, lobbied for us to have an all day, because it used to be a half day, the morning session. We said we're going to start them out in the morning with the knowledge and the history of the museum in Los Angeles. Well, actually, I used to start the first, in the beginning, I would start with the history of us as a people. And I would talk about ancient Kim, and I would quote some of the great scholars, Dr. Shigandis Jop, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, Dr. John Henry Clark, Drusilla Dungy Houston. And so I would quote some of those individuals, and Franz Fanon, you know. And then I would talk about recently the documentary, Great Pyramid K, 2019. And I talked about that about a year or so ago, the Great Pyramid K, 2019. And I put that in my presentation. I'm going to put some video of that in my presentation. I got to erase some because I can't put it in there now. It should be too long, you know. But some of the video, and I got to determine what parts of the video that I think are most relevant and find ways to cut them to make them, you know, in a flow within the presentation, because, man. But if you, brothers and sisters, I suggest to you, please, remember I was promoting two videos. One was Exterminate All the Brutes, which came on HBO, Exterminate All the Brutes. Brother from Haiti. Yeah, his name escapes me at this moment, but it'll probably come to me as it usually does. Exterminate All the Brutes. And then the other one was Great Pyramid K, 2019. And it explains, as far as I'm concerned, it gives a rational, logical explanation of how the pyramids were built and who built them. And what's interesting is that when you go on YouTube, and you can go to YouTube and get this, because that's where it's at. It's on YouTube. Go to YouTube, put in Great Pyramid K, 2019. You know, and you can watch it on YouTube, 3.5 hours. I know, that's long, but it's well worth it. Maybe you can do 45 minutes. Maybe you can do an hour this day, or the next day, or day after, whatever. But check it out. The only part that I fast forward is the two Caucasians who sailed the Atlantic, because, number one, is and they were there doing something what a man named Thor Heyerdahl did back in the 70s, you know. In fact, what Thor Heyerdahl did, you know, really got me interested in ancient Kemetic stuff. I had dabbled in the idea of Chariots of the Gods, I don't know, back in the early 70s, and you know, because they're the ones who have aliens making the pyramids and so forth and their electrical light on and all that kind of stuff. So, but the more I got into it, and then, of course, I became a member of ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, and the many scholars who were involved creating ASCAC. I wish I hadn't the opportunity, but, you know, to go on that trip in 80, I think it was 86, the pilgrimage to Kemet, you know, when the Egyptian government, you know, all these American Africans and Africans throughout the diaspora ascending on Kemet and reclaiming. Exactly. They didn't ask for any of their tours, you know, because I've been to Kemet. I've been on a tour. It wasn't us, you know. And to me, some inaccuracies were mentioned. But, I mean, I understand that's how it goes. But one thing happened with my trip to Kemet, with our tour in Aswan. You take a plane, and you take a plane in probably in Cairo, and you fly down to Aswan, where they have the Aswan Dam, where they created Lake Nasser. And by creating Lake Nasser, they flooded out a lot of Nubian territory. But more importantly, they had to move Abu Simbel, which is the monument of Ramesses II. And Ramesses II is probably the person who is, I mean, he builds on a mega level. And so what they had to do was they cut the monument up in pieces. And, you know, if you go to Abu Simbel, but more importantly, if you can, you know, a lot of times you can take your journey on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and you can put in Abu Simbel and how they moved it from its old location being threatened by the flooding of Lake Nasser, the building or the creation of Lake Nasser, to where it sits on that little plateau inside the mountain. Now, when we're talking about engineering feats, there's no doubt about it that cutting that up, because an international team of engineers got together and did that. They cut it up like a jigsaw puzzle and put it back together. You know, a few things were, you know, that's not. And when you look at it, you see it's a big piece on the ground. And of the four Ramesses in that sitting position, three are intact and that one is not. But truly that engineering feat. But when it was built in the location where it was initially built, twice a year, how they did it accurately, twice a year, the sun would rise and then position itself in the sky, and the sun would illuminate straight through Abu Simbel and illuminate the shrine, the Holy of Holies. Now, to me, that's the engineering feat. Because today they have the capabilities with machinery and so forth to do what they did. And it truly is an engineering feat. But the fact that the ancient Kemetic people built this monument, and it's huge. Well, look up Abu Simbel. That they moved it, yes. But where it was, the position it was, twice a year, it would illuminate the Holy of Holies, Abu Simbel. Yep. And so I was explaining that this documentary, Great Pyramid K 2019, for me, because it's logical, it's rational, it's understandable, that you have the great pyramid of Khufu. That's the first one being built on the Giza Plateau said it took 20 years to build that pyramid. And then there's, of course, his son, Khafre, and then Menkaure. So those three, along with other smaller pyramids and mastabas, they're all located on that plateau along with Hori Makhet. And Hori Makhet, they believe, has been there for thousands of years. Yes. Or what the Greeks call the Sphinx. Been there for thousands of years. And so the brothers and sisters who put together, well, actually, this, what you call Croatian, I think he is, or I'm not sure, but he's in France, and he's the one that helped create Great Pyramid Care 2019. And what he says, because of the how large some of these stones are, and they're perfectly built, and they line up with each other, 2 million. That just boggles my mind that there are 2,300,000 blocks of stone in that, and it stands 481 feet. For thousands of years, it was the tallest man-made structure on the planet. And of course, you know, when the Greeks took over, then the Romans, then the, you know, the Arabs and so forth, and Persians. The Persians, all of them had a chance to dominate Kemet. And even though they did that, it did not change the culture, because the culture was strong. In fact, when the Greeks came in, they didn't want to go back to Greece. Rightfully so, because Socrates went back to Greece and talked about all the things that he had learned in Kemet. You know, and he wanted to teach the children. They were like, whoa, wait a minute. No, dude, you're not going to fill our children with those kinds of stories. Made him drink hemlock. Made him drink poison. Plato saw what was happening. He disappears in Kemet. He sits at the feet of Africans. And he comes back, the great philosopher. Same as Socrates. Not Socrates, Aristotle, who was the philosopher at the time of Alexander, the so-called great, who eventually took Kemet for the Greeks for 300-something years. And, of course, the culture really changed when Islam moved across North Africa, you know. But the Greeks didn't want to go back to Greece. They claimed themselves to be Kemetic, called it Egypt. And that's why there's that belief that the Egyptians, like you see on the Ten Commandments, or you see in other pictures and other movies, looking Caucasian. I don't know about you, but it's going to be 90 this week, in the 90s. I think the high is 96, 97 this week. And I don't know if Caucasians would be bare-chested. And not just a day or two, but I'm talking about a period. Because there's three seasons. Unlike here, there's four seasons. Winter, spring, summer, and fall. There was the inundation, the cultivation, and the harvest. Three seasons. The inundation. When the river rose, that's when they build pyramids, temples, and tombs, getting to higher ground. When the river receded, depositing black fertile soil along its banks, that's when they went to planting. And then when the harvest was ready, all those things were vital to Kemetic culture to make sure that they were done in a timely manner. You know? So, yeah. And so, the building of these monuments, the temples, the tombs, the pyramids, just like when they stopped building pyramids, because those were the early dynasties, 3, 5, and so forth. They built pyramids. When they got to 1518, they went to the Valley of the Kings and Queens. And you see Hatshepsut's temple built inside a mound. Hatshepsut, who was a sister who ruled for 21 years as Pharaoh. 21 years before Tutmosis took over in his reign. Remember, a dynasty is a period of time that a family rules. And there were 30 dynasties. It ended with the Greek occupation. It ended. In fact, Dr. Clark always says our last great walk in the sun was when the brothers and sisters came from the South. And believe me, it is the South that where they came from initially. And they moved. The Nile River flows from South to North. And so when you're going North, now you're going and you're moving downriver. You know. It's just like when I just mentioned earlier about when I was there taking that plane ride to Aswan and talking with our tour guide who said to me, yes, you are right, what you are saying. You are right. This is not ours. We came with the wave of people moving in North Africa. You know. And so the Greeks claimed it. And that's why you see the movies the way you do still today. Now, what happened to make sure that you understood that that was not the case? That there were historians, men and women without foundation money or grant money, went about reclaiming and recapturing, restoring our history globally. I love Drusilla Dundee Houston's quote. She wrote the book, The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Great Kushite Empire. And this quote is, out of ethnology, archaeology, paleontology, as well as history, I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts that Harvard or Yale or even cowardly scholarship in our race can dare not refute. How can a leadership point the way? This is the best part of the quote. How can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? And we still have leadership that sometimes begins our existence in our captivity, or that we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created a civilization of consequence or of any kind. And many of us believe that. We believe that it is better for us under Caucasian cultural rule than to do for ourselves. It's a damn shame. And so that documentary explains who built them and how they were built. There's some, one ton is 2,000 pounds. There are some stones in the Great Pyramid and the subsequent pyramids on the Giza Plateau of that time that weigh 10 to 20 tons. 10 tons is 20,000 pounds. 20 tons is 40,000 pounds. Now, you could have a barge of today, but you didn't have nothing like that that they could build that could transport a stone, supposedly, as they said, from a quarry down where the Valley of the Kings and Queens are, and sail them downriver. No. What it explains is that there was a lot of material of sand, natron, and so forth. And when the water came in, when the flood happened, water came in, you mix all of that, put it in a mold, and then as it hardens, bam, there it is. They didn't lift these, because every other person is, you know, there was a series of ramps built, big ramps, and there's no evidence of ramps. And there's an evidence of perfection. Perfection. When you, as I did, when I went to Kim and they had a laser light show at the Kisa Plateau, right where the front of you sit in front of the whole thing, you know, just like, you know, you're facing west. You're facing west because behind you, the sun is setting. And as the sun sets in the west, you see the silhouettes of the pyramids. We were driving there and you see how perfect they are. When you get there, you see the laser light show on Hori Market, on the pyramids and so forth. Brothers and sisters. So that's what I was explaining to them and encouraging them to watch the documentary, show them the kind of tools that they had at that time, copper tools. And they said they knew that couldn't happen. And they're solid. The pyramids were built one level at a time, solid, as they rose up. You know? So, we're going to take a break in a minute. When we come back from the break, you know, we're going to continue the conversation, but more importantly, invite you to the conversation. So, Open Mic Monday, whatever it is you want to talk about, what's been happening, what's going to happen. I know Juneteenth is happening, coming up next week. Next week, Monday, Baba Baruti, Baba Omalimu Baruti will be our guest. And it's always great to talk with Baba Baruti. You know, I read his Inyasa Sim, a daily revolutionary thought, and all the many other things. His Book of Identity. Baba Baruti is just, to me, the most strongest person on the idea of sovereignty, along with Mama Marimba. Not just here in the Atlanta area, but nationally, maybe even internationally, to promote sovereignty for African people. And I believe in sovereignty for African people. You know, in fact, one of the problems that we have is the fact that because we are not sovereign, we look to the people who have enslaved us to allow us to be a part of what they have done. We look to them and their culture. So we're going to talk about that and anything else you want to talk about. And if you need some clarification on anything that I've said, please give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. African Perspectives here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you can't listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives. Yep. So, all right, let's do this. or at my mouth long enough. Sometimes these things don't work right. No, come on now.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
So well, you always seem to Nobody knows. And if we do, I kill it for sure. You're looking fine, it seems. Okay. Don't you want to ride with me?
That's right.
We can ride for two or three. Or if we can talk, if we can pull over, if we can do just what you want.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Shaheem, first with Let Us See, Stay Together, great song. Then, of course, We Ride, Bob James, Shaheem. Haven't heard any music from him quite a while. Maybe, you know, I don't know. I don't listen to a lot of the stations, so I don't know, you know. Be listening to news. Yeah. But you're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central. I ain't going to go through that again. We're here from 11 to 1 Eastern. You make determinations. We're talking today, open mic, so whatever you want to talk about. I just mentioned my time in New Orleans. And, been there many times, and so I don't get tripped out about what's happening in New Orleans.
You know, they got, you know, Bourbon Street, you know, Canal Street, you know, and of course, Bourbon Street is, you know, at certain times blocked off so people can just walk up and down Bourbon Street, you know. And a lot of other things that are happening in Nawlins. And, but I'm at Dillard University for that week, and I committed to that program, and I'm just very happy that this year, you know, the attendance of the Executive Development Institute was what it was. And just, once again, success for the future. And Dr. Carl Holmes' daughter, Carla Holmes, is taking a position as, you know, as the CEO. No, no, the CEO is Dave Washington out of Las Vegas. You know, but she has a prominent position in the EDI program, and she's dedicated, bringing a lot of good stuff with her. And many others of the executive board. My good brother, Brent Burton. He's the one who lobbied for us to have a whole day. And so Brent, so we changed the arrangement. So in the morning session, Brent started off with the museum and then talked about how the EDI program was developed and gave good information, information about Carl, Dr. Carl Holmes, and how the whole thing developed. And then Brother Yosef Muhammad, from New York, but now lives in the Tidewater area. I think he lives in Virginia Beach. And he talks about us in the fire service historically, you know, the numbers and so forth, what we did and things we contributed to the fire service. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I did my piece that I just talked about on ancient Kemet. Because, once again, a lot of our people don't know that history. And because it's been so whitewashed, you believe it's theirs. You know, it's in Africa. Always has been in Africa. You know, the Nile River flows from south to north only in Africa. Yeah. So, if you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about today? What's been happening? Like I said, there's some things that are happening, you know. Baba Baruti will be my guest next week, Monday, the 17th. And of course, the 16th is Father's Day, and they're having, on the 16th, not sure exactly where it is. Okay, let me do that. Okay. Okay. Ashe Wellness Cultural Market on Sunday, the 16th, which is Father's Day, from 12 to 6. A Father's Love, honoring the spirit of fatherhood. Health Space in Atlanta at 680 Murphy Avenue. Heal Space. And Baba Broody will be honored. He'll be honored. So you can register by the ATL healersnetwork.org. ATL healersnetwork.org. And they have a number of other brothers, you know, who are going to be honored. And fatherhood. Yes, sir. Yeah. And they're going to honor Baba Yoga Bay. He transitioned a couple months ago, but they're going to honor him, Baba Yoga Bay. And a few others. So that's going to be a great program. Going to be a great program. Yeah. And Brother Rashid Neri, he's a gardener. He builds gardens, you know, helping brothers and sisters realize how important it is to grow our own food. And so on the 23rd, Sunday the 23rd, at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. The African-Centered Consciousness versus the New World Order, Nana Dr. Amos Wilson's book, African-Centered Consciousness versus the New World Order, Garveyism in the Age of Globalism. And Baba Baruti will be breaking that down. So I can't wait for that from 12 p.m. to Sunday, the 23rd, from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, Main Street, Lithonia. Yep. And let me see what else I can report to you about. Brother Kalanji Jenga, good brother. African Liberation in the Spirit of Our Ancestors. Sunday, this Sunday, June 15th at 2 p.m. Join Baba Baruti, Brother Kalanji, with a special guest, Ojetunde, and African Liberation in the Spirit of Our Ancestors. From 2 to 5, Sunday, June 15th, at the House of Ogun, 4720 Birch Drive, Union City, Georgia. So there's always stuff going on, family. What's going on in your neck of the woods? What's going on in your hood? What's going on with you and your people? Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. Brother Irv, what's happening?
Baba Oshi, welcome back.
Thank you, dear brother. It's glad to be back, man. Believe me, it is. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah,
back
brother,
on the air.
I'm so glad you went down into EDI, Executive Development Institute, and you're still able to pass on this information to these brothers and sisters, because it's a need for it.
Sure.
And you can tell the need by the responses that you got when
right.
you went and did this. You know, just looking at their faces. And to me, a lot of the things that you say are things that I've heard of, but some people have never heard of who they really are, how they got to this point of this assimilation and this individualism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading a book right now, Baba Oshi, and the book is called "The World When the World Was Black: The Untold History of the World's First Civilization," and it's forwarded by Roko Rashid.
Yes,
and it's part one and two, and part one of the prehistoric culture. But it's actually, and they say it in the book, it's a reference book.
Okay.
And you know, anything to do with Brother Rashid is going to have photographs.
Sure.
Very attractive.
You know, that's right. Anything with Renoko, yeah, boy, that brother took thousands and thousands of pictures, man.
Oh, my God. If we could just make sure we could find all his photographs. Because he's like me. I love to take photographs also. He
right
takes
on.
Pictures. And so this book is teaching us it's teaching me a lot of things just mm-hmm. really quickly. I know we don't have a lot of time. Really quickly, it teaches us how Arugu has got us to believe that we were savages. And here they are, and the queen takes a bath twice a year, and, you know, they're throwing their feces out the window so that the rats and the pigs can eat it in the street. That's how they're living in Europe, and you know, we have running water, sewers, and toilets, and in Africa, and this is what they're doing, man. I mean, and these are the people that have you believing that you want to be them, but that's the olden days, man. Forget all that. Mm-hmm. The only olden thing we're going to remember is the Jewish Holocaust. Everything else we're going to forget. Because that's never going to happen again. That's what the black guy said on TV the other night.
Is that
I
right?
Said something really quickly. Something on the TV, something really quickly, just on the internet, just before I signed on to call you. It said that Niger is stopping all export of uranium to Paris.
Right
stopping
on.
It.
Right on.
And they're having talks with Iran. So you know, Baba Oshi, this is sending the the United States into a frenzy.
No doubt.
Because eventually they're going to, these Irugu is going to start the fight. They got to start a fight. As long as we're fighting, they can move in the darkness. But in peacetime, which has never been peace for Irugu, because Irugu fights himself. If there's no one to fight, they'll fight each other. They'll fight themselves.
Yes, that's their culture.
It's in them to dominate. You know, like they asked the American Indian. The American Indian said, he told the American Indian, you know, this land belongs to the United States government. The American Indian said, well, who did he buy it from? Mm-hmm. What did he barter for?
Yeah.
Well, how does this belong to the United States government? You know?
Mm-hmm. So now we're going to give you a piece of it.
Yeah, we're going to give you a reservation on your own land.
Yeah.
So I think, and I truly believe it. I mean, I know people don't want to hear the whole violence and we have to take up arms. But I believe that taking up arms has its place in protecting ourselves, not aggression. We have to be able to protect ourselves, Baba Oshie.
Yes.
Or people will, no matter what you have, someone will take it from you. Because these people are taught to take, to dominate. That's why they have so many dogs. Mm-hmm. You know, they got to dominate something.
Well, you are most correct, dear brother. That's why I read it in Yasasim, and he constantly, Baba Baruti talks about warriorhood. And once again, Baba Baruti will be our guest next Monday, and he talks about warriorhood. And what that really means for us as African people here and on the continent and throughout the diaspora, what that really means for us. You know, when I talk about from this program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. The model of the program is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. And that's sincere. You know, because if we don't do these things, if we don't protect ourselves, you know, there are some of us who have been made to believe that Jesus will save us, that Jesus is coming back and Jesus will save us, you know. And
And let's be clear, the Jesus they're looking at is a white Jesus, and then their Jesus comes in many forms. The United States government is Jesus to some. A woman who's got three children by three different men living in public housing. Her Jesus is the United States government.
Yeah,
because they send her a check every month, and she can't see past these children got to eat.
That's right.
They got to eat, and their fathers. I can't depend on their dads because they've been colonized in their mind to believe I can have all the women, and I'm big pimping.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when I hear that, it just turns my stomach. When I hear, "What's up, pimping?
Yeah.
Hold on, man, stop it! What is a pimp? A human trafficker?
Mm-hmm.
And you're that's like you running around calling yourself the N-word and saying it's a term of endearment.
Right.
So my point is, words matter. What's in your head comes out your mouth. And these brothers, I mean, you didn't hear the N-word when you went down to the EDI.
No,
you didn't hear that word one time. And everybody communicated. Everybody said what they had to say very powerfully. And I know Brother Yusuf Muhammad, who comes on Fridays on another, I think it's called Blog Talk.
Comes on Blog Talk Radio, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness.
That's correct.
Yep, every Saturday from 4 to
and
6.
It comes on later, so it doesn't conflict with your show on Friday.
Right, from 4
to 6. And it's a beautiful show.
Oh, no doubt.
It's a beautiful show.
Making us aware.
Excellent information.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when he speaks, one of my good friends, when he speaks not of what he thinks, he speaks of what he knows. I've heard your presentation, and you speak with the research that you've done, and everything, nothing can be pushed back on, because everything has been thoroughly researched. You know, the young people say, I got receipts, brother. I mean,
that's right.
When you do these things, I know you understand, and I'm not going to say you don't know, because you do. You realize the impact that you're making and the imprint that you're making in the minds of the colonized black man.
Yes.
Because when you live in someone else's house, you have to play by their rules.
Mm.
You have to at least act like you're playing by their rules. And everything you do can't be but so far out. I mean, I'm looking at this fake election that they're having and the things that they're saying to one another. But you know, you know how I am. I'm overanalyzing. I don't listen to what they say. I listen to what they don't say. Mm-hmm. And what they're not saying is that we all think alike. Between me and the other cat that's running, we're not changing the game too much. We just want to be in charge.
Right.
You know, but they both are trying to do the same thing. They're trying to continue the domination or what they think is domination, because in reality, the United States empire is sinking, and it's sinking fast. And that's why you see so many crazy things happening, because this empire is, I mean, Africa ruled the world at one time. It appeared that Europe ruled the world at one time. But what's happening now is the United States is sinking. And I'm not a doomsday J guy. I'm not doomsday this. It's not about the end of the world. It's about the changing of the guard.
Yes.
Black people have always, and this has always been the fear, that mm-hmm. the black man will eventually wake up. Well, let's be clear. We woke up a long time ago. A whole bunch of us did. And this, and Pan-African, I heard a guy say, Pan-African is a failed project. I said, really? Why do you think you're able to talk on the radio right now? Because of Pan-Africanism. Because people sacrifice so that you're able to say what you want to say. Mm-hmm. They dedicated their lives to this ideology. And it's still here. A lot of things have come and gone, but Pan-Africanism is still here, and it's still relevant, it's still effective, and white folks know about it. Don't act like they don't know. They know. They hear you, because when a Pan-Africanist talk, a true Pan-Africanist, they cut right through all the fluff and say exactly what it is, and that's because they have knowledge of self.
That's right.
And knowledge of self hurts. It hurts the people that you're talking to, Baba Oshi. Nobody wants to hear that they've been following a fool for a long time, and that's what the Rugu does. Yeah. One fool following another. We're just going to take what we want, and at some point, you're going to, like the guy, when I took karate for years, and eventually I met a cat that was bad as I was, well, actually, he was badder than me,
mm-hmm.
and put me on my back, and I was like, my God. So that's mm-hmm. what's happening to a Rugu. Eventually, you're going to meet someone or an ideology that's as tough as yours, and that's where he's at now. He's realizing that the religion ain't fooling nobody no more. Mm-hmm. You know, it ain't nobody falling for it, man. I'm not. No. You know, I feel the spirit. Come on now. So what's happening? And I'm gonna stop with this. What's happening is when things start to slip out of your hand, you start to go into survival mode. And I think that's where Irugo is now, in a survival mode. He understands that the worst thing you could have done was let us understand your language. And Africans taught themselves to read. When they said you legally said we could read, we already was reading.
Mm-hmm.
He's still acting like you taught us. You ain't passed no bill, but we can sit in class next to these white folks. Sitting by white people learning didn't make me smart.
Yeah.
But I went to all mostly white schools. I didn't come out with a PhD or whatever. But once I realized how to study, once I realized how to read and comprehend, the whole world opened up to me. And that's
right.
Where you were this week.
That's
all
right.
This week you were in an environment of learning, and
yes.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is. Bob, I appreciate it.
Put me on hold. Let somebody else speak.
All
I
right.
appreciate you. Let me
Thank
talk.
You always, my brother. Appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir.
That's right. That's my co-host, Brother Irv Lewis, and always bringing good information, good knowledge. You know, he's grown a lot, and so have I. And we continue on this path, you know, to seeking knowledge. And I remember I used to talk about Carter G. Woodson, you know, and I love Carter G. Woodson, you know. And when he found out there was a school, because he couldn't go to school, he had to help his family, you know, his brother and sisters, his parents, and worked in the coal fields of West Virginia, found out about there was a school in the Virginia area, you know, Hampton, Virginia area, that he could go to, a high school that he could go to. And he went there and finished high school in 2 years, and then went on to college, and
and took him all the way to Harvard. He was the second American African to get a degree from Harvard University. I'm saying Harvard like that because, you know, they emphasize Harvard. You know, I don't give a damn about Harvard. You know. So he went to Harvard University. And there's a saying in Islam. It says he, but I say they, because men and women must learn together. They who put their foot on the path to seeking knowledge, they go in the way of God until they return. They who put their foot on the path to seeking knowledge go in the way of God until they return. What it means, you never return. Because once you put your foot on the path of seeking knowledge, God motivates you, God guides you, God inspires you to seek the information that you request or that you need. So you never return. Knowledge is infinite. You never return. And that's what he did. And that's what we must do. But to understand this, the knowledge information that we seek must be about our liberation. Must be about teaching us how important to be sovereign is. Because we have many of our people who have gone to these so-called prestigious universities in this country. You have many Africans who come out of Africa to go to Europe and to come here. And some of them, I don't know if you've seen in England and so forth, how dynamic these individuals are. They get a degree when they're only, you know, they get a degree and they're only 15. They got a bachelor's degree. And then next thing you know, they're 17, 18 with a doctorate. Because these young people are brilliant. Because we are. We are. You know, so a bunch of callers. I like that in you. Let me get in a little bit of order that they've been calling in at. So please, I'm going to get to you. Good afternoon. Davis, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Brother O.C. This is my first time calling, and I'm listening to your inspirational listeners, and I represent the Pan-African community in Atlanta.
Ashe, please continue to listen, because that's you're on the right station. If you're in the Pan-African community of Atlanta like I am, you're in the right place. I appreciate the listening, okay?
Okay, thank you.
No, thank you.
Ashe.
Right on. All right. Good afternoon.
Yeah, what's going on? Oshie, I had seen that you were back from your vacation.
Well,
and I'm thinking I'd call in.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jay. I appreciate it, brother. How you been?
I can't complain, man. I'm going to call it like it is.
All right.
It is what it is, brother.
I hear you.
Cracker ain't changed.
No, ain't nothing changed until we change.
Ain't changed.
Yeah.
Things ain't getting no better.
Yeah.
Inflation is fluctuating up and down depending on what the item is.
Yeah.
It seems like climate is real and white folks don't understand it because there's some places in America that, as one would say, hot as hell.
Yeah.
And definitely you don't want to go to New Delhi in India because I heard the temperature
is
up to 129.
Yeah. I saw that the other day.
Imagine living under conditions of 129 and no air conditioning.
Yeah, no electricity, man.
It's real. And you know, you wonder why those people are as dark as they are.
Right.
It's so hateful that don't even want to understand that, you know, they are melanin hues.
Right. Because in those conditions, you need melanin. The sun, it will burn you.
Ain't no devil going there and hanging out doing this period in time unless he going there to buy some sacks.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, the white boy go all around the world in search of getting them a young boy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in those countries there, if truth be told, they sell their children now. Yeah.
Sad but true.
I'm just letting it be known it is what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, other than that, man, you know, the sycophants are continuing their assault on society. It don't look like anything is getting better. And, you know, we as a people are being placed in some serious situations, you know? And I don't think, in all honesty, we're observing the situations that we're basically placed in and are dealing with. I was telling a friend, I may have said it before, you know, they were pushing their Biden agenda. And I was saying to them, you know, Biden is really nothing more in context than the slave master who sold kisses.
Yeah.
If you put it in the context of who he is and what his relationship is with black people and have been with black people, he's the master who sold kids.
Well,
and when you tell black folks, for some reason, they don't get it.
Well, see, that's because,
but
see, Jay,
because
Jay, because you know the history, just like I know the history of, of Biden. He was. No, they don't, because he sided with the right wingers. He sided. I mean, one of his main confidants
were right wingers.
Yeah, Grand Wizards of the Ku Klux Klan. You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what Biden comes out of, and I think is changing to some degree in the Senate over time, and understanding by Barack Obama. The kind of just like the understanding of John F. Kennedy, I got to get somebody from the South. I got to get somebody there, you know, so more of that constituency can vote for me. Because I know, has Barack Hussein Obama, that if only white folks voted, then I would lose. So I need some white folks to vote, too. And so, therefore, that's why he chose Biden, who had been in the Senate for 40 years or more?
40 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just waiting for the real play to play out, if it does happen, is your boy Tim Scott, that mush mouth looking, Neanderthal loving, knuckle dragging Negro, if Fredo decides he's going to make this undercover homosexual, because that's what he is. He's a monkey man, twisted sister. We know it. Thank God he found him a white woman to use, and not one of our sisters. If Trump decides to name him his vice president, running mate, because he kisses ass enough
that needs to be sickening.
His what was a tattoo? That's who he need to tattoo. Be. Need to be his tattoo.
Tattoo.
You remember tattoo?
Fantasy Island. Yeah.
That's what he should be.
Yeah.
But you know, Aoshi, let me just say it like this. We as a people have to do what Baba says, come together, work together, build and educate the babies.
Yeah.
Because that's the only position we are really honestly in this country, because the majority of our people who function in this system, wish to be a part of this system, don't even understand what's being done to them. And the sad thing, and I'll leave you with this, their representation, those members of the CBC, worthless bunch of niggas,
do nothing
for their people. Yeah. Every one of your so-called top black leaders, if you look at their community that they represent, the community is not flourishing. That right there should tell you something about the condition of our people, our society, and their behavior towards our people. Because the bottom line is, they all getting rich.
Yeah.
They family members are getting rich. And the everyday black person is just getting along to get along.
All right, brother.
Take care, my brother.
All right, take care, Jay. Always good to hear from you, man. Peace.
Good day.
Is this Brother Rick?
Yes, sir. Indeed it is. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, brother. How are you doing?
You know, I think I'm doing okay. As I get older, Ocean, you probably can relate to this. I realize how much time we have actually lost. You know, the future being what it's going to be regardless of what you and I do. I think of all the opportunities that I don't know any other nice way to put it. I mean, when you play a game, you win, you lose. You know, somebody got to win. Just the fact that you're playing the game, that means it's going to be a loser.
Right.
And it's going to be a winner. And, I mean, that's just the nature of it. And we have lost because of many things. But primarily, I would say, and this is up for argument, you know, that I don't know a nice way to put it.
Go ahead and say it, brother.
We sat on the bench and we prayed for relief instead of being men and women and fighting. I know you grew up, man, like around the time I did. You've been in fights.
Yeah, we have.
Don't want to be in a fight.
No,
but
you don't.
When you realize you've got to fight to keep this nigga from stealing my lunch. Again, I don't care what he's going to do to me in this fight. I'm going to wear his
ass
behind out as best I can and let him know that this is waiting for him the next time. Yeah. We've missed those opportunities, man. We want to pray. We want to take the nonviolent, peaceful course when people are attacking us. Constantly. They got a whole society, Oshie, that is designed to attack black people and make us subservient to them forever. And they call it law. They call it law. White folks don't give a damn about law. They go change law anytime it's not working for them.
That's right.
But let us try, when I say us, I mean collectively. Let black folks, we talk about civil rights and all of that crap. The fact that you were born, I was born, we got a civil right. It don't need no law to describe that. So I'm saying, opportunities, sometimes you miss your opportunities, you miss your calling.
Yeah.
And I don't mean you personally. I'm just saying we don't do and never have done collectively many of the things that would have put us in a much better
position.
In 2024, man. Just go back 40 years when Malcolm and Elijah were telling us, look, man, you ain't got to be a Muslim. Just deal with your brother.
Yeah.
Deal with your sister. That's what they were saying. That was the essence of it. Stop dealing with white folks because they're white folks and you think you can't do better. That was the example that they provided or attempted to provide. And we just, as a people, collectively, we just ignored it. We read it in books and talk and quote Malcolm and quote Elijah and quote Martin Luther King. But we go to work the next day.
Yeah.
We get them go to work for white folks the next day. We buy all our food from white folks. We buy our cars. We pay our
rent from them.
You know, we get Yeah, we get sick. We go to the bank and
ask for a mortgage from their ass. You know, you're right.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So I'm saying, I don't know. I got evicted one time when I was a young man, and I learned that sometimes you got to starve to keep your place if you need to.
Yeah.
That's one of the lessons that I learned.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's something that I have seen revealed in a lot of our people over the years. They went through hell, but they, and certain ones, not collectively, but certain people were willing to put up with things like starvation and not clothes in order to have what they were beginning to produce for themselves. Mm-hmm. And our people nowadays, man, you know, they want name brands and, you know, cars with big logos and all of that stuff don't mean nothing.
Mean nothing.
Oh, see, you 70 like I am, man. Mm-hmm. That don't mean nothing. Exactly. We ain't going to be around much longer.
That's right.
And
that's right.
I think back the opportunities that we have had. And now some people might say this is, you know, that I've given up. And that's not the case. I look forward to any opportunity where I can assist in the upbringing of our people.
But I say,
the thing is that there's so many things that are provided or presented to us that make us think it's for our upbringing, like politics.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need senators and congressmen and Supreme Court members. We need our own money. Well, when I say money, we need our own resources.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We need to devalue their money and the hell with theirs. We need to come up with our own interpretation of what money is. But see, those kind of things we don't think about, man.
Right.
You know, as collectively, individuals might do it. But collectively, man, you know, we refuse to even pursue that thought. And I think, like, if this is a chess game, we just gave up our knight, you know. And I learned chess a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I learned, man, if you got a knight and a king against a king, you're going to win.
Yeah.
You just have to know how to play it.
How to play it, how to trap them, exactly. All right, Brother Rick, appreciate you, man.
You better know how to play your pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to free up the line, man. I love hearing your callers, and I appreciate what you do, brother.
Thank
you,
man.
To know that.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for listening.
Likewise.
Right on. My good brother from across the pond, Brother Paul. How are you, man?
Baba Ochi, I am alive, and I am kicking, and I am taking every day with precious clarity.
Yes.
Every day is a gift.
That's right.
Every present is a gift. So that's how I'm taking it. I'm just going with the punches and rolling with the flow. That's
right
it,
on.
Baba Ochi.
I say.
And how are you, Baba Ochi?
I'm
how
well.
How are you and your family?
Everybody's fine, and I'm glad to be back. So I said I was down in New Orleans for the Executive Development Institute, which I've been going to New Orleans, and first to FAMU, and then to Atlanta when Katrina hit, when Hurricane Katrina hit and flooded. All of almost, I mean, you know, there was under 10 feet of water down in New Orleans,
wow.
Man. And then, I've been dealing with that for years, man. So anyway, man, how you doing?
And how is your grandson?
Oh, my grandson is
Boston.
Oh, good, good. In fact, that's what I got to do right now. As soon as I get off the air, I got to run him to his school, and they're going to go to Kennesaw State University. And they're going to be playing some games there that I'm going to go later to check out with his grandmother and his mother. So, yeah, man, that's my life right now here in Atlanta.
Well, Baba Ochi, that is life, man. That is life. You know, the reality of it is you got to do what you got to do, right? And, you know, you got to think of how many people who are unfortunate enough not to be able to produce children, man. That's a big problem, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe got, you know, so
that's right.
The reality that is the extension of your life, and that when you pass out in the physical form, they carry on the work, and that's how it is. That's how it is, you know. That's how how it's gonna be. And you know, you're doing the work, Baba Ochi, and I have to commend you. I really do have to commend you for putting yourself out like that, man. And you know,
Thank you.
Up the time to give us some sanity, give us some
Thank you, Brother Paul. Man, I look forward to all the brothers and sisters that listened to this program and contributed to this program. I mean, I was surprised that through, you know, Brother Elliot and to Kwaku, the numbers of people who do listen to this program, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that, man. You know, people going to listen, but people got to get involved as well. People got to have their say.
Sure.
You know, you don't have to... You know, you just have to have a say, man, because, yeah. You know, the reason why you have to have a say, right, because they are purposely and deliberately trying to shut you down, trying to close down your voice, trying to make you irrelevant. Mm-hmm. And they do it so well, they'll even have people who look like you trying to make you irrelevant. Oh, yeah. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yes.
So, you know, that's why you got to have your say. You got to force that issue. You got to kick down that door. And not allow them to make you silent, man. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that's the reality, Baba Ochi. So, you know, in truth, we can talk about how to win over the world and what we need to do. But in reality, what we first need to do is get our righteous minds back, man. And you're a big part of that, man. You're a big part of that progress, man.
Well, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and every day of my life, I try my best to put something on our minds to get us to think outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed us in, to try to help us release that vice grip that they have on our minds. And of course, if you understand and you know that too, there's a knob at the end of the handle. Us acquiring knowledge of self and information about us and be feeling good about ourselves continues to turn that knob until finally you can release. Because you just can't, when you set that vice grip, you can't pull it apart. You cannot. But that knob, turning that knob, helps release that pressure and bam. And not that you challenge Caucasians, to hell with them, because, you know, they suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe they're superior, and in a damn thing that you can say or any all the proof that you can present that'll change it. And a good example of that is Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop. Diop in 1974 went to that symposium in Cairo, and him and he and Dr. Thelophilia Obinga, who was a linguistic, they both were the only Africans. Everybody else at that symposium in Cairo were Caucasian or sympathetic to the present-day Egyptians, and they kicked their ass. It is said that he was prepared and ready to deal, and he presented constant information, and then he produced the smoking gun. The smoking gun was the melanin dosage test that he created, where you can take some DNA out of the mummies and you can determine how much melanin they had in their skin. And so for years, the people in Egypt did not provide the mummies so he could do the melanin dosage test until finally they did. And it proved, it's just like I was watching Facebook piece of this Caucasian who wanted to believe that this particular pharaoh that he had helped excavate was, you know, not African, not dark skinned. And then when it proved it, said, no, he was Nubian, which of course is dark skinned. And he was like, oh, wow. You know, because that's who they were. That's who they were. That's what that Great Pyramid K 2019 presents to us. It says, I will tell you who built them, and I will tell you how they were built. And there's a logic to it. There's some rationality to it, you know? But, you know, they wanted us, like I said, when I was young, way back in the early 70s, you know, they you know, had books out that, you know, these were done by aliens. Aliens came and did this. And there ain't no damn aliens.
I said this before, right? And I say it again. If I travel to the to America on the docking passport, it says it calls me an alien. It actually right. does that on the documents. Yeah. So you know, right? The point I'm trying to make is this language is not our own.
No, and it's not.
This idea. What I'm trying to say to you, Baba Ochi,
and that's offensive.
We're not even.
And that is offensive. I think that is offensive. You're not
of
an alien.
We are speaking the language of our capturers. That's what we're speaking. You know, let's not lie to ourselves. This is not our language. Our minds have been captured because we're not speaking our language. So if we're not speaking our language, how can we get the right frequency? We're not on the right frequency.
Yes.
And no one can argue with me because we're not.
Right.
Your language is English. It's called English. There's no language called African-American language. There's none. It's called English. That's what mm-hmm. you learn when you go to school, when you're a child. They indoctrinate you with English. That is and that is to capture your mind and capture mm-hmm. your mind, your body, and your soul.
That's it.
So I can't, for the dysfunction which I see, you know, and I've experienced myself and been subjected to, I can't really pass all the blame on my people in that point, because their minds have been captured. They're not speaking their language. Yeah. And even on the continent, man, I mean, I grew up with young people from, I heard a debate just recently, 2 days ago, with some Nigerians who were born in England, yeah? Mm-hmm. And they were not allowed to speak their African language.
Right.
That's their parents.
Right.
That's their parents.
Yes.
They barred them to speak in their African language. Can you imagine that?
Because they want them to assimilate. They want them to be able to maneuver in
Africa.
Society.
I grew up with Africans. I grew up with people from Nigeria. It's not like America. I grew up with these people. They could not speak their African language. And that was their mother and father did that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're at. That's the reality of our situation. That's what these people have done to us. But hear what, Baba Ochi, it's not over, because the reality of it, like you say, through these interactions, through communication, because that's another problem. They don't want us to communicate so that they can spin their lies and web of lies. So we break down their deception and their control mechanisms by communicating. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We have intelligent conversations. You have intelligent callers ring this program.
Yes.
You have great subjects. You know, this is how we are definitely breaking it down. You know, we go on Sundays, we have people phone in, young people. And it, to me, that's the top of the game. We have, over this side of the phone, we have young people phone in from Kenya. We have young people thrown in for Uganda. It's so elating to me.
That's great.
These are Pan-African young people.
Yes.
Pan-African. Not ordinary Africans who have been totally brainwashed through Christianity or captured through Islam. No, mm-hmm. not them Africans I'm talking about. I'm talking about those Africans who have freed their mind from these Eurocentric or Arabized capture mechanisms, okay? That's the Africans I'm talking about. And when you listen to them, you say, wow, they're on it. And they will tell you it's through listening to us and people outside mm-hmm. And all these people, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Marcus Garvey, all these great people who've put them in that position. So we're going to get there. We're going to get there. Mm-hmm. We're going to get there. We're definitely going to get there.
That's right.
But we're going to have a big pushback, because we're in a struggle. We're not warring on them. They're warring on us. But we've got to learn to war on them. We've got to learn to capture them. We've got to learn to take some of them out. Okay, that's what we're frightened to do. We're frightened to build the institutions to capture them, take them there, lock them up. We're frightened, and we got to get there. We got to get there.
We are, brother.
We got to move this along and get there, Baba Ochi, and we will get there.
We will,
whether
man.
I'm alive or not, we're gonna get there.
That's right. I appreciate you, brother Paul. Thank
you
much, man. Peace to you, brothers and sisters. It's that time. Thank you all for who listen. For those brothers who called in, the sisters who called in, appreciate your time. Man, I love it. Man, I feel good. So we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Vahodie. Bibi Vahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Hope you'll listen on Wednesday. Okay, family? You have a blessed and wonderful day. Peace.
Great show.